What's going on? Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. It is heard live every day from noon to 3 on WBT Radio in Charlotte. And if you want exclusive content, like invitations to events, the weekly live stream, my daily show prep with all the links, become a patron. Go to thepetecallinershow.com. Make sure you hit the subscribe button. Get every episode for free right to your smartphone or tablet. And again, thank you so much for your support. I did get a chance to go to the website hereistheevidence.com during the break there. And it's a crowdsourcing website. So people just go in there and they just throw in headlines and links to various stories. And so here's the thing. And this is a way that people argue. This isn't an attack or anything. It's a tactic in debate. And this is a good example of it, which is I will throw up all of these different headlines. A lot of them are from media sources, by the way, that like I would be suspicious of for one reason or another. Either they're like, you know, legacy media outlets or they're fringe you've never heard of, right? But either way, like it's an appeal to the volume. Right, it's an appeal to the number of, look at all these headlines. Well, in order to ascertain whether or not there is truth to the accusation or the assertion, right, you then would have to go through every single one of those articles. And then you'd have to research all of the articles. And this is why I say that people have this faith. They have a faith. And I acknowledge that my faith is more towards the system that has been erected over decades. Now, that being said, I also saw a whole bunch of links in that feed about the rules that got changed prior to Election Day. And I wasn't full-time here. I did not have this shift in 2020. I was on the air. I did have the weekend show, and I had my podcast, and I was doing all of that. So I know what I was covering during the 2020 election cycle, and what I was covering and doing interviews on was all of the end runs that were being done around North Carolina's election integrity laws. Why? Because of COVID, right? COVID allowed all these leftist groups to sue to get ballot access opened up. You had in North Carolina, you had the collusive settlement that was reached between these left-wing plaintiffs and the Democrat-appointed Board of Elections at the state level. And by the way, the Board of Elections at every county level is controlled by Democrats. Those are appointees by the governor. Okay? The State Board of Elections, controlled by appointees of the governor. His party controls every single one of them. And the State Board entered into an agreement with those that had sued, and they cut out the legislative defendants because they're Republicans, who opposed any of these ballot measures that, you know, allowed for, like, you know, drop boxes and ballot harvesting, essentially. So I beat that drum pretty damn loud. And I have no doubt that that affected vote totals. Absolutely. Were some of them fraudulent? I have no doubt about it. No doubt. I've been covering this issue for a very long time. I've been beating the drum for election integrity for a very long time. So this isn't some sort of like, oh, I don't believe you because I hate Trump or something. No, this is, okay, I'm listening to the assertion. What's the evidence? I want to hear the presentation of evidence. And people were given years to make the case. And I was a willing recipient to hear it. Let me go over here and get Scott on the program. Hello, Scott. Welcome to the program.
Hey, Pete. Hey. First of all, thanks so much. I probably speak for tens, if not dozens, of people
nice.
Who listen to your show that you brighten our afternoon, and I appreciate everything you bring to the air.
So well, probably, I think maybe like 11 or 12 people tops.
Ergo, why I said tens, possibly dozens. If it was 13, we could go dozens.
Nice.
In any event, I'm going to take you back to yesterday, maybe earlier today, you said it too. You know, at some point, we all get to a point where we just say, look, enough is enough.
Mm.
I need to stop being a part of the problem. And I think I sort of was yesterday. I was mad as a hornet. We're a builder here in town, and And we had just had a bunch of interior trim delivered to a home that was ready to get have it installed the next day. 4:30 in the afternoon, we took a picture. Everything was there. 7:30 in the morning, the guys come to install the trim, and they're missing two doors.
No.
So, you know, just silly me. I said, well, we'll just drive around the neighborhood. Who knows, right? Lo and behold, I see two doors that look strikingly similar to the doors we had stolen. So I didn't do anything rash. I called the police, said, hey, we got two doors stolen. I see them leaning up against this house. Can you come out and take a look at it? The police responded. They were very, very cordial, very nice. They said, well, we can go over and talk to him, but without a warrant, there's not much we can do. I said, yeah, but I got a picture of the doors right there leaning up against this house. Yeah, but they're not there now. So the policeman goes over there. Guy answers the door, opens the door. They have a discussion. He comes back, the policeman does, and says, well, he refused entry to the house. I did see that there were some interior doors leaning up in the living room.
Oh, my God.
But without a warrant, I can't do anything. And I said, seriously? Without a warrant? Well, can we do that? He said, well, you know, there's a lot of paperwork and everything. It's probably better if you just come down and let us know the areas you're building in, and we'll increase patrols to try to dissuade anybody from doing any damage. And then I looked up as I was talking to the police officer, and the guy, he's still standing on his front porch, and he flips me off. I'm like, look.
Is this a guy that bought, like, is this a, like a new construction neighborhood or something? Or is this like a...
No, it's a scattered site. It's a home we're building in an existing neighborhood. And apparently the guy needed to do some remodeling, and hey, cool.
He's using
doors to a house nearby. I'll go take them.
He's using his future neighbor's job site as a supplier.
Yeah, it's a home improvement warehouse.
Yeah. So, have you told the person? Is this somebody's home yet, or is this on spec?
No, it has not yet been sold.
Okay.
And we've run into this before. And the thing is, Pete, really, what it boils down to, it's $241.86 is what it cost me to get the two new doors
this time.
But I also got to pay the trim guy to come back and put them in.
Right.
And I'm looking and saying, we did absolutely nothing to enforce a very clear law on the books. You can't steal stuff from other people. I thought there was something about probable cause, but apparently, no, we always need a warrant now.
Yeah, I don't believe that. I remember there being laws about if the cops see something. It's sort of like the old example was, if a cop is chasing a suspect and the suspect runs through your house and the cop is following that guy through your house and sees some bag of, you know, drugs on the table, they can arrest you for that.
Right.
And so if he sees it, were these unique doors? Like, not like a standard kind of grade door that anybody could have had or something? Or
no, they're a fairly standard grade door.
Okay.
And the easy thing, which my wife said when I was explaining to her, I was so frustrated last night. And she said, well, she said, the minute the guy said you can't come in my house to look, he's guilty. Because if I bought the doors, I'd show you the receipt right away.
Right. Well, the fact that he's got him leaning in his living room. Yeah, the fact that he's got him sitting right there in plain view means he just brought him in. Right.
Right. I'm sorry, officer. I'm sorry for the confusion. Here's the receipt. I just went to the store and bought them, blah, blah, blah. But instead, and I understand, and I understood and had grace for the officer, because I know he probably had to fill out 16 forms in triplicate and go to a magistrate, get a warrant, come back, talk to the guy. And probably ultimately the saddest part, Pete, is the officer knew that through all of that, this guy wouldn't get any punishment anyway. So what's the point?
Right. Right. So now, how do you?
I'm thinking I'm part of the problem, so I didn't press the issue and say, no, I want you to go get a warrant. I want to prosecute him, because the reality is nothing. I hate to say this, but my opinion would be likely nothing would happen anyway. So what happens now is that guy who stole stuff, he tells two friends, and they tell two friends, like, hey, it's okay to steal stuff, guys. Feel free.
Yeah. And so like, you're going to have to step up security at the site. But here's the other thing: is when you do get that house sold, I would tell the owner, whoever buys it, I would tell them, by the way, your neighbor at this address, they stole stuff off of the job site, so you may want to be wary of them.
You know, now the bright side is, Pete, human nature is great. There are super nice people out there. We had a couple of other neighbors say, hey, we're going to keep a closer eye because that guy's been a problem for a while.
Mm.
And that's what we're doing. We're trying to improve neighborhoods. But at some point, I think you're right. I'm going to snap like a dry twig, and I'm going to clock somebody across the side of the head because they stole stuff they shouldn't have stole.
Yeah.
That's not the answer, but at some point, there's got to be a better answer than not doing anything.
Yeah.
Right?
No, I know it's super. It's super frustrating. I know it, and I can hear it in your voice. I'm frustrated with you. It makes because I've been robbed several times over the course of my life. People come and stole my lawnmower out of my shed. I've been burglarized. Yeah, and it's like, oh, it's just property. It's just stuff. Like, yeah but it's also a chunk
that's
of time.
How you have insurance.
Yeah. But it's also it's a chunk of time. It's a portion of my life that I traded for money that I then used to purchase this item that now I have to spend more time of my life in exchange for more currency so I can then replace the thing that you stole.
Not even a shadow of remorse.
No.
The guy stands on his porch and flips me off as the cops are leaving.
Yeah.
You know where that guy's going to go tomorrow. If he needs something else, he'll just kick in the door and take something from, because, well, why not?
Right.
And that's the sad part of where we are now, and I think you addressed it earlier, is, and this was a generational thing, this was a much younger person, that guy probably has never been told no, or maybe never been told that he's wrong, and he needs to get his act together.
Yeah.
Well, why would he if nobody, if you're going to let me be a jerk, I'll be a jerk. So,
yeah.
Again, I appreciate you. I think you do a great job, and you do brighten my day at least.
Oh,
and
that's
even if it's only one. Hey, that's one, right?
Okay, I appreciate that. That's it. Well, that's what I say. You know, I change the world. You know, one person at a time. Scott, I appreciate the call. I don't actually say that, but appreciate the call, Scott. Have a great weekend. I'm sorry that happened to you. I feel bad for. And that's the other thing too. Like, do you tell the person who's about to buy the house? Tell them after they bought it. Do not tell them before they buy it. Because I wouldn't want to live next door to that guy. Let's open up the mail sack. Pete at thepetecallinershow.com is the email address. John says, an attorney once told me, regarding the caller Scott there and the neighbor that stole from the job site, an attorney once told me that the only way to get justice anymore is to do it yourself, but make sure there are no witnesses. That's true. Always. Yeah, like when you saw that was Scott's mistake, I guess, there is that when he first saw the picture or saw the doors and took the picture, I guess maybe Scott should have just like sat out front. And if the guy came out to take the doors, videotape him doing it, or just walk up and take the doors back. Like that would have been the thing, I guess, to do is to go up and take the doors back. So Dave says, Pete, you prepare for your show. Your callers do not. We don't know what you're going to talk about until your show starts. We cannot have facts and figures at the ready, depending on what the subject is, to argue our point of view. Sometimes it is just opinion from what we've read and heard. Dave, I totally get it, Dave. That's usually why I try to keep people on the topic. And the initial caller, I'm trying to remember who it was, that Jeff was his initial. And Jeff called in and he was off topic. So he actually chose that topic to speak about. I did not. I had nothing prepared for that topic. So that's why I try to keep things on a singular topic. So this way I try to give all of the information and, you know, present the story, give the details, and then people have opinions about that individual topic. And so we can all kind of work from the same body of knowledge. But then every now and again, I take a phone call. I get waylaid. I get shanghaied, but without the kidnapping part. Yeah. And here's the thing. Yes, sometimes it is just opinion, and that's fine. But here's the thing. If you call in and you make an assertion, as Jeff did, and he's so convinced of this thing, that's why I asked the question, because when you come across as so convinced that a thing did occur, and I ask you, okay, well, like how or where or, you know, whatever, and then there's nothing there. And first you recall, again, I didn't even ask him for specifics on it. Now the whole show, you know, because there's like all the topics I did prep for, not getting to any of them. Mayorkas with the NGO, Roy Cooper's shutdown, the Court of Appeals case, the Title IX change, like all of this other stuff is now just off, right? Because people want to keep arguing the opinion that the election got stolen still. So, all right. So, a couple things here. I was reading, I came across this story in the Charlotte Observer. You've heard me talk about this before, art by explanation. Have you heard this? If not, I've talked about it for years. It is this, the ridiculousness of the art, and I use this term very, very loosely. The art projects that get installed in various places or in front of buildings. And it's one thing if you are a private entity, you know, and you want to put some ugly piece of trash in front of your building, call it art, put a little plaque in front of it that explains what it is because nobody would otherwise recognize it as art, right? That's why I call it art by explanation. And so I'm always on the lookout for another one of these examples because it really is. This is, by the way, if you look up the old, that list of things that the Soviets were looking to do in America to try to undermine the American system, this is one of the things, which was to basically strip away beauty from art. And, you know, anybody who has seen, you know, any of the architecture of the, you know, the most modern Soviet era, you will know, like, that is all completely robbed of any kind of beauty, right? And anyway, so when I see these things that are put at, like, for example, the onion rings over there on, what, Randolph Road and Wendover, I think, the big onion rings at that apartment complex, the terracotta onion rings, like, that would make sense at Carowinds. Okay, I get it. It's, like, connected to the roller coaster or something, but whatever. Or how about the discs that are planted along the light rail line? I think it's the same artist. Terracotta-looking big discs, like, you know, 15 feet high, and they're just stuck in the ground like somebody, like a giant was playing Frisbee golf, and they, like, got dug into the ground, and it's, like, a couple of them there. And they call it something here, but they've called it – the artist did the exact same project in another North Carolina city, and they just called it something else. You know, it's working smarter, not harder. There was another one over near Thomas Street Tavern, like Central Avenue. It's like crossing that little stream, crossing Briar Creek. And they put up like some barrier so you can't see the creek. But the barrier is like some sort of like metal works kind of thing. And it's like wavy. So it's supposed to represent the water that they blocked from view. So you can't look at the water because the art that represents water is blocking it. Remember when they built the arena in Uptown? The original plan was to have these stupid-looking fake tree things that were supposed to represent trees. And then the city council was like, well, that's stupid. Why don't you just plant trees? And so they planted trees. So there's all... Oh, the police academy, right? Years ago when they built the police academy, they created some stupid-looking trash thing in their lobby and like a janitor threw it away. Because it was like chicken wire, and it was supposed to emulate the hornet's nest shield of CMPD, and it was there in the lobby, and then they were like getting ready to open, and they were cleaning stuff up, and a janitor threw it away because they thought it was garbage, which it was. But anyway, latest example, we have a new entry into the Hall of Fame, the pool noodle sculpture. Not kidding. Have you been to the Mint Museum Uptown? If so, then you have seen this thing. It looks like a 30, 40 foot tall hose reel. It's just hoses. Literally, that's what it is. Like, it is probably 30 hoses, and they're hanging to their different colors, and they're just like hanging down in like this, yeah, like a hose reel that's not reeled up like a circle where it's nice and tidy. It's just like, you have a hook and you just keep throwing the hose over it and you just end up with all of this like spaghetti of hoses and it's hanging down over the wall. And apparently this is a signature and singularly large piece of art, quote unquote, at the Mint Museum Uptown. And they're going to be doing some restoration work. Well, thank goodness, because obviously it looks terrible. That's how it's supposed to look, apparently. They're going to spend $40,000. It's coming from a Bank of Earth grant, so at least, you know, the bank customers are paying for it with your transaction fees and stuff at Bank of America. Anybody, this is from the Charlotte Observer reporter Adam Bell. Anyone who has been to the Mint Museum Uptown will recognize the iconic piece that is due for conservation. It is, here's the name of it. Well, here's one of the names for it. The latest name for it is Mega Footprint Not Far From the Hutch. I have no idea what it means. Usually the titles help to explain what the piece of garbage is. In this case, not so much. In this case, it still just looks like, I mean, you could have called it, you know, hoses at a work site. That's what it looks like. Okay. That's the name of it now. Mega Footprint, not far from the hutch. It was originally called May I Have This Dance? So it's got two different names. How is that possible? Glad you asked. The sculpture is impossible to miss since it's right there on the west wall of the Robert Haywood Morrison Atrium near the museum entrance. It stands 80 feet high, 15 feet wide. And then he says, picture five giraffes stacked on one. Okay, nobody knows what that looks like, dude. Like, picture five giraffes? What? I can't even picture one giraffe, let alone two stacked on top of each other. That would be very weird. Let alone five. You need to have like a base going, like a cheerleading pyramid thing. I don't even know what five giraffes. Anyway, it's 80 feet high. It's really high. It's really tall. It is comprised of 42 sculptural components made from flexible, synthetic, and cork tubes. The tubes are then wrapped in dyed and twisted linen thread. Okay? So you make these tubes, and then you wrap them with fabric, with thread, right? And they're different colors. And then you have them all hung on a hook or whatever at the top, and then there's like a couple strands that hang down and touch the bottom, and this is called Mega Footprint, not far from the hutch. Right. The tubes are plumber's pipe insulating foam. Okay, this is art, people. This is art. They got a grant. It's for $40,000. That doesn't cover the entire cost of the restoration project, apparently, which is like $44,500. So they're going to have to come up with another $4,000. The piece was originally debuted at the corporate headquarters of Target in Minneapolis in 2003, and it was called May I Have This Dance, and it was hanging horizontally. So, see, when you take it and you turn it vertical, it's an entirely new piece of artwork. Look at that. At least we didn't have to pay for it, right? I will say that. At least taxpayers did not have to pay, as far as I know, because it originally debuted after Target decided to reconfigure its headquarters and hired a sighted person that saw the thing. The retailer ended up giving the piece to the Mint, which debuted in 2011, and they reconfigured it to hang vertically. There you go. And so you change the name and you change the orientation. You go from landscape to portrait mode and boom, totally new piece of artwork. Look at that. Working smarter, not harder. That's what I say. Okay, if you're listening to this podcast, you are obviously paying attention to the world around us. You also have really great taste, I might add. But if you haven't started getting prepared for various emergencies, I got to ask, what are you waiting for? Please call my friends Bill and Jan at Carolina Readiness Supply, and they'll help get you started. If you have no idea how to start, they can help you. If you're an experienced prepper, they can help you too. Being prepared is just smart. We've already established that you're smart. I mean, you listen to this podcast after all. So let's put those smarts into action. Go to CarolinaReadiness.com. That's CarolinaReadiness.com or call them at 828-226-7239. Carolina Readiness Supply has 2,000 square feet of supplies as well as educational materials that you're going to need for any kind of emergency. Veteran-owned Carolina Readiness Supply. Will you be ready when the lights go out?
Mark, yeah, literally throwing stuff up on the wall, calling it art. Literally, I have posted a picture of it onto... it was in response. You know what it looks like? You ever open up like a service panel at like an apartment complex? You ever see one of these things like open up like they're doing work on like the telephone lines or the cable lines or something? And they open it up and it's just like this whole spaghetti mix of cables. Like that's what this art installation is. That's what it looks like, except it's 80 feet tall. That's it. Let's see here. What else we got? Oh, there was, did you see the story out of the mountains? Okay. People, do not pick up baby cubs out of the bear cubs out of a tree.
Just don't do it. Well, actually, if you're the kind of person that would do it, yeah, go ahead, do it. And maybe the mother bear will be close by. All right, that'll do it for this episode. Thank you so much for listening. I could not do the show without your support and the support of the businesses that advertise on the podcast. So if you'd like, please support them too and tell them you heard it here. You can also become a patron at my Patreon page or go to thepetecallinershow.com. Again, thank you so much for listening, and don't break anything while I'm gone.